You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, and the king, Scott Angle, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, the World Series is in the books. Baseball season is over. The new champion, the Houston Astros, for the first time in their history.
Yeah, congratulations to the Houston Astros. Shout out to the city of Houston. Shout out to H-Town. Congrats to the Stros and their fans building up that baseball team and did it the right way. So big shout out to them. Congrats to them. This was a couple years ago today, same day. This is the same day that the Kansas City Royals won the World Series. It's the anniversary of that.
How about that?
How about that?
Yeah.
There you go.
And congratulations to the new Mr. October, George Springer, as well. And good for the city of Houston as well. They've been through a lot. I'm happy for guys that, I've personally dealt with, like Justin Verlander and Brian McCann. Good guys. Nice to see them have a ring.
Yeah, you feel good for guys who have been around a long time, like Carlos Beltran and whatnot, to finally get that World Series trophy, that World Series ring. It's an awesome feeling for them. You feel good about that. The Astros, they do it for Houston. They build it the right way through being so terrible. Bill Simmons actually had a tweet a couple of years ago when Jim Crane bought this team for like $680 million.
Yeah.
He's like, is buying the Astros something you would do in your first 100,000 things that you would buy with your $680 million? And now Jim Crane has got a World Series ring out of it.
Got a World Series champion, so shout out to the Houston Astros.
Absolutely. It's absolutely fantastic. So great job by them. Fantastic series. Game 7, kind of a disappointment, I thought. 5-1 Dodgers just could not break through. Tons of guys on base all night. It just did not happen.
Who was the Dodgers manager last year?
Dave Roberts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dave Roberts back-to-back years, but after Don Mattingly. The other big story also involving Houston is that Houston's own Josh Gordon reinstated by the NFL preliminarily. He is eligible to practice with the Browns, start training again with them. He's not eligible to play in games in Week 13, and he is not eligible to be on your roster in fantasy this year. Well, he's eligible. You just make sure you don't do it, because that is a mistake, Scott Angle.
Yeah, the guy hasn't played since 2014. And look, if you're going to do it, hopefully you only spend a few bucks. There's people out there that spend a lot of money on him. I'm not saying it can't happen because the guy's very talented, but you're really going to start him with any confidence in your fantasy playoffs in week 13 when you haven't seen him for 3 years. You got to get the past out of your head. Right now, the guy hasn't played for 12 weeks. Even if he played last year, you'd have to be very careful about it.
Yeah. It's nothing you can do with JG right now. It's just good to see him back there on the field and get another opportunity. Good to see him out there sober, you know what I'm saying? Get all of that nonsense out of the system and get back to being a professional athlete.
Yeah, it's good to see him. It's a better, as Corey said this morning, it's a better real-life football story. It is a real-life human interest story than a fantasy football story. There's nothing to see here when it comes to Josh Gordon in 2017. If he's out on the waiver wire, you should leave him there. That's where he belongs. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back here on the Roto Experts, we will talk more about Alex Collins, more about some other running backs. Roto Experts here, live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, rolls on right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
back here with you on the Roto Experts.
That's one, Mr. Sussman.
That is the first one of the week.
You was really, you was into it too.
I was waiting, and you know, there you go. Just remember, if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls every week. The free enter, so sign up today. And this week, Fantasy Factor is featuring a $200 Friday free roll. Completely free on Friday. Enter $200 that you can win for free over at www.fantasyfactor.com. Guys, a little while ago, we were talking about Alex Collins and how popular he was. And Corey, you're like, listen, I'm waiting to see it still when it comes to Alex Collins.
Yeah, I still want to see it when it comes to Alex Collins. I'm just not going to be one of the guys out there throwing a whole bunch of fab on Son and then go picking him up and inserting him directly into my lineup. I don't like the situation in Baltimore. I like this. I don't. Listen, the thing with me is I don't want to roster players if I don't have to that are attached to bad offenses. You're not going to be scoring fantasy points if the team is scoring 13 points a game. You feel what I'm saying? I just try to stay away from bad offenses, and the Baltimore Ravens are a bad offense.
Let me ask you a question, though. You said, I want to see it. We saw it last Thursday.
I got to see more of it.
Okay.
I got to see more of it. It's still a bad offense. It's still how many points did the Ravens score?
40.
How many points? I mean, like, they had 3 defensive touchdowns.
Yeah. Look, it is a bad offense, but, you know, you can never roster enough running backs because,
I mean,
you know,
they
go
too.
Down. You know what I did last night in the GST? It's like, okay, you know, I'm looking ahead, you know, because there's key games I got to win, et cetera. Maybe the playoffs coming up. I have Kareem Hunt, Todd Gurley. I picked up Tre'Quan West and Malcolm Brown, both these for $1. I want to have the handcuffs.
Sure.
I don't want to get into a situation where, you know, where you've lost Dalvin Cook and you don't have Jerick McKinnon.
When it comes to Alex Collins, I have a couple more that I want to run by after Frank Gore. Would you rather have Alex Collins or LeGarrette Blount?
I mean, Blount, Mrs. That. Oh, come on, Mrs. Sussman.
I apologize.
While Corey ponders that, I'm going to say I'd rather have Alex Collins because I just think Ajayi, you know, is going to be the lead guy there, and I think Collins is going to be the lead guy for Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Collins, too.
Okay. Alex Collins or Rex Burkhead?
Rex Burkhead.
That's a very tough one because I feel like in any given week, Burkhead, with his versatility, can outscore Collins. And I wouldn't blame anybody for going the other way, but I can't predict any Patriots running back except for James White, so I'm going to stick with Collins.
Alex Collins or Latavius Murray?
I'm going to have to go with Collins. I feel like Jared McKinnon's definitely the lead guy there. Once in a while, Murray may hit like he did 2 weeks ago, but I feel like Alex Collins is going to get more regular touches.
Alex Collins.
Alex Collins or Orleans Darkwa?
Alex Collins.
Collins.
Yeah. Orleans Dockward is hardly rosterable.
Stiff.
That game against Denver is going to be what he shows to his grandchildren.
They used to play football, Grandpa?
There's one more running back I wanted to ask you guys about, and that was Carlos Hyde here. Because Carlos Hyde, I thought, was trending in the wrong direction with the quarterback situation. Of course, it changes with Jimmy Garoppolo. But you're concerned about Carlos Hyde, given that C.J. Beathard is a quarterback, and they can't do anything on offense with C.J.
Yeah,
Beathard.
I think you would have to be, but what you got to like about is the volume he's getting, sure, in the passing game. And that's really what his fantasy value is attached to right now. And he might be able to run off the edge and take one into the end zone and give you that kind of day. You can't really sit that.
I'm not buying this public line on Garoppolo. There's no way they can continue to roll Beathard out there for much longer. At some point, this team has to win a game. You know, it'd be good for them for morale-wise just to win a game. I think Garoppolo gets in there, and it somewhat helps Hyde. So I'm going to go with Hyde over Collins.
Okay. So you go with Hyde over Collins.
That's the easy one.
That was an easy one. That wasn't the question. It was Carlos Hyde or Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara.
Oh, Alvin Kamara.
Easy. Okay.
Easy, you know.
Carlos Hyde or Christian McCaffrey? We don't have the Christian McCaffrey whisperer here today.
CMC.
I'm gonna go Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
You know, as we were talking about with this trade, they said they made it because they want to open up the running game more. And if they unleash Curtis Samuel downfield, whereas Kelvin Benjamin wasn't a downfield threat, I think that opens things up for the running game.
Carlos Hyde or Lamar Miller?
Carlos Hyde. Let's not get carried away.
I'm gonna say Lamar Miller because he's in the better offense and he's been producing. Carlos Hyde is the better running back,
sure,
from a pure evaluation slash scouting perspective, and I would rather have him if I knew he had a good quarterback. But Lamar Miller's in a much better offense, at least right now, and going forward, of course, even if they get Garoppolo in there, he's going to have more opportunities for touchdowns, and you know, he's scoring double figures every week. And there's one other thing that Miller has over Hyde, and that's been durability.
I think I'm going to go Carlos Hyde. It's a little too much for him. That was good. You tried persuading me there, Scotty. I'll give you that. Carlos Hyde or Tevin Coleman?
Carlos Hyde. I like Tevin Coleman, too, but I'm going Carlos Hyde. Be careful with Tevin Coleman. I would sell Tevin Coleman, to be honest with you. And I got him on a ton of teams.
So why are you selling him?
He's getting... Like the other last this past week, he had that one big run.
Yeah,
that's where most of his fantasy points came from. Before that, he had a touchdown. Most of his fantasy points came back. His snaps are going down too.
This is a great comparison, Greg.
Thank you. Because
I feel Coleman has more upside, but it's too volatile, and you feel like Hyde will get the work, and things may improve when Garoppolo comes back. So I'm going to go Hyde.
I think I broke Jameis Winston's helmet, by the way.
Greg, don't touch screams.
I'm sorry. Carlos
Hyde. You can hear easier now.
Carlos Hyde or Jerick McKinnon?
Jerick McKinnon.
Jerick McKinnon is just balling out of control right now.
Balling out of control right now. Okay. Scotty, Carlos Hyde or DeMarco Murray?
I'm going to go DeMarco Murray. I think the health is improving, and when he is healthy, he's a surefire RB1.
Murray.
So everyone's coming down on Carlos Hyde now.
I got Carlos Hyde on two teams. I start him every week. I start him with no problem.
It's the situation. It's the game script, the quarterback situation. It's like when Beathard is in there, it's almost like you're looking at an Isaiah Crowell kind of situation. But when Garoppolo comes in there, maybe you have more reasons for optimism.
Carlos Hyde or Aaron Jones?
I'm going to go Aaron Jones. He's shown a lot of upside.
You guys are not thinking Carlos Hyde's a top 12 running back then.
Not right now.
Really not close.
My rest of the season ranks on rotoexperts.com right now. He's number 19.
So there you go. Yeah. He's a mid-range RB2 for the king.
Yeah.
And you're saying you throw Carlos Hyde out there. No problem. No big deal. Mid-range RB2.
I'm going to go Aaron Jones over Hyde.
See? Of course you would. Very interesting stuff when it comes to Carlos Hyde.
Of course you would.
No, I get it.
I'm just saying the way you said it was funny.
It just makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Carlos Hyde or Bilal Powell?
Bilal Powell's not a thing at all. Easily Carlos Hyde.
Hyde.
Carlos Hyde or James White?
Jimmy.
I'm going to go James White. You know what that receiving, that there's a pretty much a floor there every week. You don't know what the floor is with Hyde. He just may hit the floor. That's it.
So he's been pretty healthy this year, Scotty, to be fair.
I'm saying in terms of teams loading the box and him getting stuffed. That's what I was saying.
Ah, okay. Yeah. That's obviously very reasonable. Yeah. We'll see. The interesting note about the Niners and Jimmy Garoppolo in particular, they had a press conference yesterday, and Kyle Shanahan basically said there's a chance that we don't even start Jimmy Garoppolo this year. Do you buy any of that?
No. I think it's public talk. I'm not buying into any of it. It's like it's got to be absolutely sickening for people to watch C.J. Beathard in there. This team's got to win a game at some point. They have to boost morale, even if they look towards the future. You got to start evaluating now, and you got to do that with, you know, it's a complex offense. Look how long it took Matt Ryan to evolve into it, and they need to, but they got him, throw him out there, because maybe he can't learn it, but it's obvious C.J. Beathard has no grasp of it, and he doesn't have the talent.
Kyle Shanahan is full of it.
I feel like Kyle Shanahan's kind of an egomaniac.
I can definitely agree with that. I can see that.
I can see that.
Let me ask you a question about the Shanahan clan.
Yeah.
Do you think they ran RG, or do you think RG was just a POS?
I don't think he was a POS.
You think it was them?
I do.
They never put him in the right situation.
But why would he let? But when he, even when he got away from them, people still like the Gruden don't. The Gruden cat don't like him either.
Absolutely not.
See what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So not. Maybe it's RG.
Hugh Jackson couldn't see.
All I know is from Italian evaluation perspective, they tried to make him more of a pocket passer, and it didn't work. And at the time that he went to Cleveland, he was fried.
It's curious.
Yeah. It's both, maybe.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Dr. A from Inside Injury. We're not going to talk about Carlos Hyde because he's not injured. He's healthy. We'll talk about a whole lot of other guys that are injured. We'll get all the latest updates for you then. So, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts, Corey Parson, Scott the King Angle, I am Greg Sussman, and at this time we're excited to welcome in our good pal and friend of the program, it's Dr. A. What's going on, Doc?
Waking up to seeing Scott do air drums is exactly what I needed this morning to wake up for you guys. It was wonderful to see.
I did it for you, Doc.
I'm going to be honest with you, he didn't do it for you. He does it every morning. He didn't.
I did it specifically today for Doc. Greg just gets aggravated because he can't feel the music.
Maybe if you have a recommendation of how I could feel the music, that would be helpful.
Might have to get born again.
Yeah, all right. We talked a lot earlier today, Doc, about Emmanuel Sanders. He was given the timetable of 6 weeks. He says he's going to make it back in three. Practice yesterday. It looks like he's going to play on Sunday. If we roll him out there, how confident should we be he stays out there?
Yeah, so we've been talking about him for a long time. Week six is when his injury got suffered. Right now we're entering into week 10. Optimal recovery time, according to our algorithm, is 4 weeks. So week 10 is optimum, but week 9 is not bad because this is a guy that always has been elevated injury risk, you know, before the season started on our books. So I don't think he's going to get any, sort of better than this. He's still showing at high injury risk at 36%, but as we get closer to game time, we suspect that will drop and that will improve to elevated. However, he's not going to be anywhere near close to low injury risk. So, you know, a guy that has had multitude of injuries over the last 2 or 3 years, and his body type and all of the stuff that we put into it, you know, grade 2 ankle sprain and coming back early for him, in our mind, is not going to be something that he's going to be at low injury risk for. He'll be at high elevated to high injury risk if he does play in this game.
Good morning, Doc. How you doing today, brother?
Good morning, Corey.
Wonderful. Hey, Doc, let me ask you a question. CJ Procise, would he be better suited for flag football?
Well, there's one fact that we have. Flag football, we have a lot less injuries than NFL. So, yes, I mean, I think a lot of these guys would probably be better off. But Procise with this grade 2 ankle injury, you know, again, grade 2 ankle injury, running back, this is their biggest injury that affects them the most. 4 weeks optimal recovery time, you know, but the biggest problem that he had is that he did return early in week 7, only to sprain his ankle again on the same side, the same injury. And we warned everyone about CJ Procise before the season started to elevate it and below average. And getting injured and then re-injury really worsens the injury. So even though he had a setback, he's limited at practice Wednesday. However, we are saying that he is 4 weeks away from week seven, so week 11 to be, you know, sort of exact. But, you know, he's not going to get better than elevated injury risk. He's at 18%. He may get down to 17 or 16%, but he's going to be nowhere near the 10, 11% that you need to be low injury risk. So, you know, this is probably the best that he's going to be, and you're going to have to flip the coin if you do start ProSize this week or next week.
Morning, Doc. And, Doc, what about Jameis Winston right now? It's he's been up and down. Some of that you can attribute to bad decision making, but, you know, the shoulder certainly hasn't helped.
Yeah, you know, the quarterbacks are sort of a different breed in our algorithm. It's really, really, you know, when you have even the mildest of injuries to a throwing extremity for a quarterback, it really affects them. This type of injury, his injury risk is low. I mean, you know, it's such a mild injury, but even a mild injury can really affect the performance of a quarterback. So this is one of those unique things. We don't see this very often in our algorithm, but he has a low injury risk, but he has a below average HPF. And the main reason why is because that grade one rotator cuff strain or shoulder injury really will impact the ability for a quarterback to throw. And you need the rest basically to heal that. So he gets right back up. If he rests, this thing will go right back up to peak health, but he's not resting, and that's been the biggest issue.
Got to take a rest. Oh, James, take a rest.
Yeah, bring him down. Talking to Dr. A, inside injuries here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts on a Thursday, like we always do. And, Doc, I'm excited as a Devontae Parker owner to get him back. He's been out with his ankle injury for a while. Is there a high ankle sprain here we had to worry about, or it just took him a long time to come back from a low ankle sprain?
Yeah, it's a long time to come back from a low ankle sprain. He's had a couple of these in his career. And, you know, it's good that, you know, he's been sort of, resting. In week six is when he suffered the injury. So week 10 is his optimal return. However, week nine, I don't know the difference really between week 9 and week 10. According to his numbers, he was always elevated injury risk in our book. Unfortunately, he's at 16% right now, injury risk, which is elevated. I think if he rests one more week, he may get to 15%, but he's not going to get anywhere lower than that. So, you know, week 9, week 10, I don't think it makes a difference too much. He'll still be at elevated injury risk, but he has improved this far because he used to be at 38 or 40% injury risk when he first got the injury, and now he's down to 16%. So, you know, this is, again, another flip of the coin, but this is probably the best he's going to do at 16%.
All right, Doc, let me ask you a question. For all the people that's going out there to the waiver wire to pick up Danny Woodhead, do you feel as if he can make it through this week of practice?
No. Danny Woodhead.
He said no.
Yeah. You know, this is a grade 3 hamstring injury that he actually suffered. This is a tear of the hamstring for a wide receiver. Again, wide receivers and hamstring injuries, this is sort of like their Achilles heel. And, Danny Wood is he's had a multitude. He's not in the Tyler Eifert category, but he's had lots of injuries over the last 3 years. And, you know, he's still at high injury risk at 28%. Don't see him getting off of that anytime soon, even though, you know, his optimum recovery time is 13 weeks, according to us. So week 14 is when he's supposed to come back, not week 11. So all the signs, there's red flags everywhere. You know, I would avoid Danny Woodhead if possible.
How much time is Chris Hogan really going to miss in your estimation?
Once I saw the number 3 for grade 3 shoulder injury on a wide receiver, it's a 7 week, sort of a 7 week optimal recovery time. Optimally he should be out till week 15. But we'll see what happens. He's at 45% right now at high injury risk. Obviously, you know, he was elevated and below average before this injury, but he's at 45%. That means, like, literally you flip a coin and, you know, right now he could get re-injured easily. So I don't know, over the last 6 weeks, he could probably, go down from 45 into the 20s, but 7 weeks, he'll give him a shot to get back into the teens. And that's where he'll probably stay for the rest of the season. So really, it's around week 15.
Talking to Dr. Ray inside injuries. Download the app and you'll get the most up-to-date injury analysis, Scotty.
Yeah, and also you can check him out. Inside Injuries is now part of the Exclusive Edge in-season fantasy football package on rotoexperts.com. Drop to a all-time low price for your playoff push.
There you go. Now, I know somebody that Corey, myself, Mr. Matt Modica have been all excited about has been the return of Corey Davis. It's been weeks and weeks and weeks of hype. This seems to be the week. What could we expect from the Titans wide receiver?
So, yeah, he missed the last 6 weeks, obviously, with a hamstring strain, grade 2 hamstring injury. It's an optimal recovery time of 5 weeks, but it's week 9. You know, he was elevated injury risk before the season started. He's now improved to elevated. He used to be high. Now he's back down to elevated at 19%. However, you know, if he does come back this week, you know, he'll probably be staying at 19%. That's pretty high, guys. You know, next week he'll probably drop to 14 or 15% and he'll probably stay there. So I feel a lot more comfortable next week than this week. The main reason why, he re-aggravated a hamstring injury and he's a wide receiver. You know, he played in week 1 and he re-aggravated it. So, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, one more week, he should be good. But, you know, the difference between 19% and 15-16%, you know, it is a little bit significant, but, you know, I don't know how significant it's going to, you know, it's going to really result in, because he's always been elevated injury risk before the season. We listed him at elevated. He's one of these wide receivers that we, you know, that has increased risk of injuries for the whole season.
I'm just rolling with him, though. I'm still rolling him out there. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I have no other choice. I got to keep going.
Yeah.
With
the kid.
Yeah, so
can I give you guys some good news? Can I give you guys some
good news?
We love good news.
All right, God. Sterling Shepard. you know, grade 2 ankle. He is now in low injury risk at 9%, and he's moved into above average and very close to peak health. So, you know, he should be ready to go this week, you know, in terms of being at optimal recovery time. So
all right, there you go.
So there you go. I can give some good news, right?
Every once in a while.
Matt Modica is just waiting for you. It's like he's not here today because he knew that you weren't going to give him any good news on Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, that was the problem. So, yeah. so he's not here. Dr. Wright, it's Inside Injuries. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this Thursday. And we'll hear from you on Sunday for Line of Black Live.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good week.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Doc. Very, very much. Well, good news for Kevin Sterling Shepard. Solid news for Corey Davis. You know, not great, but, you know, news there.
Devontae
Corey
Parker's Davis. Playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Danny Woodhead should make it through today.
Not this week.
Not this week. Not this
Wait
week.
A minute. You don't know if he's making it through the next hour.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to be at practice.
He should be home now.
We have to just drive. You know?
I didn't say it would happen in practice.
In the car, he's just like, man, I hope my leg. Not,
yeah, he'd probably tear that hamstring getting in the car.
Yeah,
that happened to Fred Taylor once, and like he hurt himself off the field, and he was so noted for being hurt on the field.
Well, that's what he wanted you to believe. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Got a couple questions about Mohamed Sanu. What do you guys think of him this week and going forward? We'll do that next on the Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
RotoExperts.com/DKKMS. It's the website you go to find out more about how you can learn about donating your blood and becoming a potential bone marrow donor, and ultimately saving a life. It literally goes that far, and all the information is there for you at rotoexperts.com/DKMS. As I said, you can learn how to become a bone marrow donor. You can also have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Click the link at the bottom of the page. You will wind up at a DFS contest. Participate in the DFS contest for free any of the remaining weeks through week 16 of the NFL season. You win any of those weeks, you qualify for week 17. You play week 17, you win week 17, you go to the Super Bowl. That's one of the ways you can go to the big game. The other one is participating in our Big Game Trivia Challenge. Every day here, starting on Monday, we give you a little free preview here this week. Starting on Monday, you participate in our trivia contest, answer four questions in a row right, you get them correct, you go to the big game, and it's all sponsored by our friends at DKMS. There you go. ProtoExperts.com/DKMS. Guys, we got a lot of questions about Mohamed Sanu and his status and what we think of him. Leading Atlanta in targets, constantly having the ball in his hands.
Is he the leader in targets now?
I believe
that is disgusting. That's disgusting if that's true.
I will confirm that in a moment, but I believe it's true. So, Corey Parson. What do you think Mohamed Sanu? What do you think Mohamed Sanu?
I mean, Mohamed Sanu is a professional. He's a pro. He gets it done. He's a dude that you put on your fantasy team. He's a wide receiver 3/4 each and every week. It's more than likely, it may sound funny, but more than likely, Mohamed Sanu should be in your lineup more than he should be on your bench.
He does not have more targets than Julio Jones. I said that wrong. I said that incorrectly.
He's closer than he should be, though.
But he's closer than he should be, though, indeed. I will say
he gets 6 targets a game. Julio gets 8.
He has more touchdowns than Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Which is a joke.
Hey, Mohamed Sanu's having a good season. But when he's healthy, Mohamed Sanu can play.
He's a good player.
And he has some great matchups coming up, you know what I mean? But you know what? Julio have these matchups, too, but they got to start getting Julio involved. This don't make no damn sense.
Demetrius Harris has as many touchdowns as Julio Jones.
That's pathetic. Yeah. All right, Scott, I have a couple for you. You were the anti-Mohamed Sanu a couple of weeks ago.
Obviously, yeah, I was wrong on that.
Obviously, that's changed because he's proven to be better.
Yeah.
So, who would you rather have going forward, Mohamed Sanu or Paul Richardson?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say Sanu because Richardson worries me that he can't stay healthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That's fair enough. Yeah. Corey, same question to you.
Mohamed Sanu or Paul Richardson? Sanu just consistent.
Okay. Would you rather have Mohamed Sanu or Josh Doctson?
Mohamed Sanu.
No question.
Doctson still got to prove he's a thing.
Would you rather have Mohamed Sanu or Devin Funchess?
I'm gonna go Funchess because he's the number one wide receiver there.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go Funchess too.
I agree with both of you guys.
All lives matter. You so
can't contain yourself.
Sorry,
Mohamed Sanu or Deshaun Jackson.
I'm all for Deshaun Jackson. That guy's been way overrated for a long time.
I'm gonna go D-Jax. I'm gonna continue to go D-Jax.
The numbers aren't there though. It's only the reputation is.
Is that true? I feel like Josh Jackson's been better than you think.
Yeah, I think I feel like that's the same way too. I feel the same way.
I don't think you can compare him to Sanu. Sanu's producing more.
Deshaun Jackson had at least 6 targets in every single game, 8 in his last 2. He only has 2 touchdowns in the year.
You want to go PPR standard?
Yeah, but how many catches? How many yardage? Not targets.
Let's go.
He has 25 catches for 397. While Mohamed Sanu has 28 catches for 302.
And how many touchdowns?
Same amount of touchdowns.
Wow.
Let's go.
I was right, right?
But on a fantasy game-to-game basis, how many points do they average per game?
Deshaun Jackson averages 11 fantasy points per game. Mohamed Sanu averages 11 fantasy points per game.
That's why they're even. Yeah. So I told you, Deshaun Jackson's been better than you thought.
Yeah, I guess so.
So you're going to still stick with Sanu then?
You know what it is in my head? Like, I expect way more from Deshaun Jackson than people have. I'm going to go with Sanu, though, because I feel like on a week-to-week basis, I'm going to be able to trust him more.
Yeah, I'm going to go D. Jackson because he can go crazy any week.
Yeah, and then he can also do nothing.
You don't do nothing.
I edited your crap.
Mohamed Sanu or Nelson Aguilar?
Nelson Aguilar. It pains me to say
that. More upside.
You know, more upside, but he has weeks like he did last week where he did nothing.
Yeah.
I just feel there's more blow-up potential there.
I agree there's more blow-up potential there, but Mohamed Sanu is very consistent right now.
I like Mohamed Sanu right now.
Do you like him
all of a sudden?
Do you like him more than
I was wrong on him.
Do you like him more than Marvin Jones?
Yes. I don't trust Marvin Jones.
I know Corey does.
I don't fool him.
Corey doesn't fool Marvin Jones. Mohamed
Sanu. I don't either.
Mohamed Sanu or Robbie Anderson?
You mean Robbie Anderson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Sanu. I feel like he's going to be more consistent.
How come you're going Anderson?
I'm going to go Anderson. I think Anderson is getting involved. I think Anderson gets involved more. I think Anderson also get a chance to take a better shot. And then plus, Anderson might be the one on the Jets.
I think he is the one on the Jets.
That's true, but
I mean, but you can say you can.
There's
I mean,
to me, there's always a thing that Josh McCown might turn into Josh McCown again, and you know, for these four good games that he's had or whatever, it could be a easily be a bad streak of bad four games ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Two more for you when it comes to Mohamed Sanu. Sanu or Pierre Garçon?
Sanu. Garçon, the quarterback situation has really dragged him down in a big way. It's really, really what I feared in the preseason.
Yeah, I think this quarterback situation is dire in San Francisco. Yeah. I go Sanu.
I think Shanahan quarterback next week.
So do you go Sanu over
Mike
Garçon?
Or Kyle?
Kyle. I'm going with Sanu.
You are also going with Sanu.
I just, the court, like this guy says, you know, Garcon's a beast, whatever. You know the kind of targets he was getting when the kid Hoyer was, well, the man Hoyer was out there. But when you look at CJ Beathard, you know what I'm saying? Can't do nothing with it.
Honestly,
you can't help himself.
My only surprise is that it's taken 9 weeks for us to get there.
Yeah.
That's my only surprise, really. Last one with Mohamed Sanu. Mohamed Sanu or Sammy Watkins?
Mohamed Sanu. Crazy. I'm not doing Sammy Watkins.
I can't believe it's gotten to this.
Yeah.
Mohamed Sanu.
Like, you can do it either or, like Sammy Watkins or TJ Jones. You know, it's gotten to that point.
Even though Watkins is going to have a good week this week.
I agree.
More quiet weeks.
Yeah, and then after that, you can cut him.
That's fair. But this week's not going to be one of those quiet
weeks. Yeah, I think Watkins is going to go crazy this week.
All right, let's talk about another big wide receiver. Let's talk about Will Fuller. So Will Fuller, we had a billion touchdowns on the season. What is it, like 7 in 12 catches, something like that. So would you rather own Will Fuller or Devin Funchess, Corey?
This is a tough one right here. Give me the consistency that we think Funchess is going to have. But Fuller is just... I got to go Fuller. I can't believe it. Dude, God, how many catches does he have on the season?
Will Fuller, on this very season, he currently has 13 catches and 7 touchdowns.
That's crazy.
Over half of his catches have been touchdowns.
That's crazy. But you got to go. It's working. Something's working. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to keep riding it while it works.
They've turned Will Fuller into what we thought DeSean Jackson should be. This offense is not going to stop because the defense is going to continue to let up. It's going to be a lot of shootouts. I'm going Will Fuller.
Okay, I'm going Will Fuller as well. Yeah. Will Fuller, Kelvin Benjamin.
Will Fuller. I'm not the biggest Benjamin.
I like Benjamin, but he's going to be a wide receiver 3, and Fuller's going to be a wide receiver 2.
Right now, Fuller's a wide receiver 1.
It's true.
He's on that cusp of... Low-end wide receiver 1, high-end wide receiver 2. No, Benjamin's just not there.
No, he's a 1, Scott. Like, he's a full through-and-through wide receiver 1.
Well, you know, I don't want to take up a lot of airtime, but, you know.
You don't tell me what we're going to do.
I'm telling you what I'm going to do.
Well, we ain't going to take up a lot of airtime. I'm going to take up as much airtime as I want. That's why they brought me here. Let me tell you something.
You take up a lot of air with that big mouth, but yes, but... you know, what I'm saying is we could go through and it would be, you know, painstaking time-wise because, you know, I would give you like, well, there are 11 wide receivers and you wouldn't take over him?
That's how it works. That's how it works. Is that yours, Corey?
He's performing right now. He's performing as a top A.
But, you know, it's about
top.
Projecting ahead, too.
Right now, Scott, he's
It's not about just right now. It's about
right
the future,
now,
too.
He's performing as a fantasy wide receiver 1.
Right now, you are getting on my nerves. So I project an injury for you going forward. Great. We have to look forward.
That's the number that we can look at. That's all we know is what's happening right now. You feel
no,
what I'm
but
saying?
You have to project forward, Corey. And when right I taught now, you how to be a fantasy analyst, I told you about projecting forward.
And right now, he's a wide receiver. Receiver 1.
Let me read you this analysis.
Going forward, he could be a wide receiver 2. It's like I taught you.
Let me read you this information on Will Fuller. Tell me if you agree with it, Corey. Don't necessarily look to sell high on him because you think he's at peak value. Fuller's going to continue to be a pretty frequent big play threat, and you should keep him if you can't get a significant upgrade or fill a big need.
Who wrote that?
But if he can bring you back a more established, prominent piece or help you fill a major hole with a very good player in return, then be willing to part with him. If he brings you back a top 15 RB or wide receiver, You have to strongly.
Who would you rather have, Will Fuller or Michael Crabtree?
Will Fuller.
I'll take Michael Crabtree.
I'll take Michael Crabtree.
Will Fuller.
I'll take Will Fuller. I feel like there's going to be more yardage from him.
I'm so confused right now.
That's because you don't think too much in black and white, not shades of gray. You know what? It, like, we were having this argument about whether he's a wide receiver one, a high-end wide receiver two. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, the guy's top 12 or 13 right now. It doesn't matter. You and I are pretty much on the same page.
I'm very confused about why would you take Fuller over Crabtree?
I think there's much more yardage upside.
Huh. That's interesting.
You know Michael Crabtree got 6 touchdowns.
I do.
Will Fuller has how many?
7.
7, right.
Will Fuller has 13 receptions.
He does.
Michael Crabtree has 33.
He does.
I think it's only going up for Will Fuller.
By the way, the person that wrote that was Scott Engel.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice job. I can tell.
Because he couldn't read it. He had to just have somebody dictate it to him.
I read better than you, Scott.
Will Fuller
right.
or Jordy Nelson?
Kiss my journalism degree. Huh?
Will Fuller or Jordy Nelson?
Will Fuller. That situation in Green Bay, don't know what that's going to be.
Yeah, Will Fuller.
So Fuller over Devontae Adams as well? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Fuller's getting it done.
Will Fuller or Alshon Jeffrey?
Will Fuller. Alshon Jeffrey's a tight end.
Yeah,
Fuller
like Des Bryant.
Huh?
Amari Cooper?
Will Fuller.
I'm going to keep going to Amari Cooper.
Stop it.
We'll take a break. We're out of the show with the Olin Kid and Emery Hunt when we come back here on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Final five of the Roto Experts program. Scott Engel is still here, but Corey Parson is not.
He's morphed into, you know, somebody way more tolerable.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for most, but
it's Emery Hunt co-hosting the Fantasy Football Frenzy. What's up, Emery?
Yeah. What's going on, guys?
Finally, maturity in chair number two.
Oh, now all I need is maturity in chair number three.
Yeah, and you know. Get the stick out of somewhere in chair number one. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Probably won't happen today. But you know what? We'll bring in somebody that probably has his own sticks in other places. It's the All-In Kid, Jake Seeley. What's up, Jake?
What's going on, Greg? A little contention in there this morning. At least we have talent in chair number two now.
No!
Oh! Wow.
Jake's joining in. Love it. I love it, man. Before we went to the break, we were talking about Will Fuller. And the most controversial one that we had was Will Fuller versus Michael Crabtree. Who do you like more, Jake?
Michael Crabtree. I think right now is the best time to sell high on Will Fuller. Forget about it. Look, we know the touchdown to reception ratio can't continue. We could go past years of everybody up and down the list. It doesn't matter what name you throw out there. We could say Julio Jones with 11 receptions and 7 touchdowns is not going to continue. And that's really what it comes down to. I think Will Fuller is somebody you want in your lineup every single week going forward, given this offense. But at the same time, I don't care what name you put out there. It's just you can't expect this kind of touchdown rate to continue.
Emery, are you as in on Will Fuller as, I guess, some other people here with some of the ones we went with? Will Fuller versus Michael Crabtree for you as well?
Will Fuller.
Oh, you're on the other way. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on the other way. I'm big on guys that actually can get it done. And I think the way the rapport is now with Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller, that's going to continue to happen over the course of the season.
Yeah, it's a perfect complementary situation schematically in Houston. You have – sometimes I look at it like if you have a big receiver – and DeAndre Hopkins is just not any big receiver. He can do more than that. And you got the speed guy to compliment him. I think it's a perfect situation for Deshaun Watson.
You know, it is. And the offense is finally explosive out there in Houston. Something I never thought that we'd be able to say. You were saying something interesting to us before off the air, Emery, in regards to the Miami guys, Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams. And you believe that the Ajayi trade was much about his inability to catch the football and his ability to just, listen, get a couple of yards here and there, as much as his personality in Miami. You also believe they wanted to open up space for Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, I think when you look at what a guy like Kenyon Drake can do and what he brings to the table, it just opens up your entire offense. And when you look at the Eagles and people are saying, oh, he's going to fit perfectly within that offense,
yeah,
people forget that Garrett Blunt is a guy that can really catch the football. You know, even back at Oregon, he was a kick returner, so he has good athleticism.
Sure.
Ajayi, I think, is more of just a Chris Ivory type of a back. And because of his passing or lack of passing skills, that's what got him, ran him out of favor, not only just from a receiving perspective, but also he couldn't pass protect. So he's not that guy that I think that they wanted. He was slowing down the offense. So I think you're going to see a combination of both guys, but I do like Drake more than Williams.
Okay,
I mean, Blunt has really never been a pass catcher in the pros. My question to you with Drake, though, you look at his college history, and it almost in a similar way to like a CJ ProSize scouting report with all the injuries in college. Could we be looking at another CJ ProSize situation, guys, where like this guy is very talented but can't stay on the field?
And that's definitely fair because that's the reservation you have about a guy in Drake. But I think, you know, you had that same reservation about Ajayi. Ajayi had three good games, three big games, and then 13 of the average ones. So I just think like it's 6-1 way, a half does another, and they're willing to roll the dice and gamble on the guy that can help them out in the passing game, probably in a limited role, but one that's going to rack up the receptions and also get you some touchdowns.
Jake, when it comes to JJ, I know you liked him a little bit more than some other people, and I guess we'll talk about that more on the Frenzy, because I'm excited to hear you and Emery together, Jake. Should be fun.
I agree.
All right. For the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, for the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Jake and Corey and Emery hosting the Fantasy Football Frenzy today as Matt Modena continues out. For the King, Scott Angle, I am Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.